It was good. Amen. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and changes not. I told Pastor back in the Sunday school room, we were talking and we were discussing some issues, not really issues, just some things that we talk about often, how good the church is and how good our people are. And the way that God's moving, I don't know if you realize it or not, but God is moving the church forward. Amen. The last, I think, three or four services, we've preached about the rain falling. We've preached about the power of prayer. And we've preached about, Pastor preached about the power of prayer. And he preached about the anointing Wednesday night. And God's just been so rich and so real. And God's taking the church somewhere. Amen. I'm excited about what God's doing. We're excited you're here this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we want you to feel welcome. This is God's house where everybody is somebody and God's everything. Amen. I want you to pray for the message this morning. This may not qualify as preaching this morning. It may be a little more along the lines of teaching. But how many of you know the Word says that He gave some to the church? Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors / teachers. Amen. Hold your Bible up. Say, faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. I want you to pray for me this morning. I'm just going to have to wait just a few minutes so I gather myself. Man, I'm telling you, the spirit of worship is so rich and so real in this house this morning. If you're here this morning and you have a need, God is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Amen? I thought about it as I was preparing the message this morning. I was praying and yesterday morning and I got up and I tried to prepare my notes. And I told Pastor this morning I don't want to stay so close to my notes that I miss the Lord. But I don't want to chase rabbits either, because I had an old preacher give me some sound advice one time. He said, brother, if you chase two rabbits, both of them get away. Amen. So chasing rabbits is not the problem, but when you start chasing two rabbits, both of them get away. Amen. I was thinking about it, and I may be long in preaching today, so y'all pray for me. I'll try to get you out, make this as painless as possible, try to get you out as quick as we can. But I always think about one night that Paul was preaching. The Bible said that Paul was long in his preaching. And along about midnight, a young man named Eutychus was sitting in the window, fell out and broke his neck. Amen. Paul goes down and lays hands on him. They go back to church, and the Bible said that he preached about daylight. I'll try not to keep you to daylight, but I do want to tell you this. If you fall asleep this morning, I'm going to come back there and lay hands on you, because I don't want you to fall out of your seat and hurt yourself. So you better keep your eyes open this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you is ready for the Word of God? This ain't nothing new. This ain't nothing you ain't heard before. This is old stuff. This is old hat. But how many of you know that the Word of God is right all the time? Amen. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. You pray for me, like I said, try to get you out quick as we possibly can. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For by his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. I'd like to title this message this morning, The Rewards of Faith is High. Amen. The rewards of faith is high. How many of you know that faith is? Faith is. Now, I say this a lot of times, and like I said, this is old hat to a lot of people. This is exactly what I feel like God, that that God wants somebody to hear this morning. Amen. You may be sitting there this morning and you may be thinking, well, I've heard that message 1,000 times. You may have, but just act like you enjoy it. Because there's somebody here this morning that needs to hear exactly what I've got to say. Not because I'm saying it, not because I'm preaching, because I've talked to God all week and I said, God, if you'll put your thoughts into my mind and your words into my mouth, I'll say what you want me to say. And I feel like this is what God wants me to say this morning. Amen. The rewards of faith is high. Now, the first currency in God's kingdom is faith. Amen. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. Just as the dollar bill is the building block of legal tender for Americans, faith is the foundation of believers. Amen? How many of you know without faith it's impossible to please God? Everything in the Christian life hinges on faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. In the U.S., the dollar, or the currency of our world, and some people would do just about anything to get it. Amen? Come on, somebody pray for me this morning. We're going somewhere. Money can please your wife. Money can please your husband. Money can please your kids. Money can please your neighbors. Money can please a lot of people. Amen? Come on. Don't get me wrong. Now, money's not bad. Somebody said money's not everything, but it sure is nice to have around. So if you got some that you don't need, just give it to me. I'll take care of it. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you got some you need to get rid of, just give it to me. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So more than you need your paycheck next Friday, more than you need to win the lottery, more than you need anything, you need more faith. Amen? Amen? So the disciples came to, you pray for me. The disciples came to Jesus one time and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Now, we're not talking about people that have never been to church before. We're not talking about people that just happened off the street. We're not talking about a group of people that didn't know nothing about God. These are men that had walked with God. They had talked with God. They had seen Jesus open blinded eyes and heal the leper. They had seen Jesus raise the dead. They had seen all these things. Amen. But yet, they come to God and said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, it's pretty evident or pretty easy to understand that we all need more faith. Amen? I'm not even going to tell that. Yeah, I am. This is a joke. Now, you straighten your halo up before I say this. There's an ongoing joke at our house. I'm in love with Faith Hill. Is that her name? Used to be. I done got over her. I moved on to somebody else. But I'd be kidding with my wife and I'd say, oh, I need more faith. But saying all that to say that we can joke and have fun in the household of faith. But we're fixing to get down to business, amen? Because we all need more faith. How many of you know that faith is the currency of the kingdom? With faith, you can buy anything that God has, amen? Or what has God got? God has got anything that you need. God has got healing. God has got prosperity. God has got health. God has got anything that you need. But you've got to activate your faith in order to receive what God has for you. Amen? Because there are some things that can't be purchased or can be purchased with faith that you can't purchase with money. The Bible said, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, is the gift of God. Amen? So could you imagine what it'd be like if you could purchase salvation? Come on now. If you could purchase salvation, it would be at the top of the list of everybody's Christmas list. Amen. At the top of your list, you'd say, I want the gift of salvation. I want a whole truckload of salvation. Because you know what we would do with it? I'd take a whole truckload of salvation and I'd go to my family members and I'd say, here, there it is. You got salvation. You got eternal life. I'd go down on the streets and I'd see all the lost people and I'd say, here, you a dose of salvation. You ain't got to worry about eternal life because there it is. You know what, though? If I could purchase this gift, if I could purchase a salvation with currency, I would get it. But the problem with that is only the upper echelon would be able to afford it. But how many of you know with just a few simple words of faith, to whosoever will, a salvation comes through faith. Now I'm glad I got that out of the way. So if you're here this morning, you're lost. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I got a word for you. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's free. It is simply free. Now, when I got saved, Pastor, I'd been raised in church. I've been in church all my life, and Mother took me to church. But on the day of my salvation, amen, I had to have this one thing. I had to have faith and believe in what God done at Calvary. Amen? Romans 10:9 says, "Then if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's saving faith. How many of you are thankful for saving faith? Some people say, "Well, if I could just have some evidence." Oh, my goodness. Y'all pray for me. There goes one of them rabbits. I was talking to a guy at work the other day, lost as a ball in tall grass. And he was talking about a Christian. Amen. He said, "Right there's the reason I don't go to church. Right there's the reason I don't go to church." He calls himself a Christian. And look what he said and look what he done. And I looked him dead in the eye and I said, "Yeah, but on that day, it ain't going to matter what he done. What's going to matter is what you done." Amen. Praise be unto God. So you got to have faith to believe in God's finished work at Calvary to get you where you need to go. With a few simple words of faith. That's saving faith. The world says seeing is believing. But faith says believing is seeing. Amen? Well, if I could just see something. If I could just see some evidence that God is really real, you know. If I could just really believe that He was raised from the dead, that would be enough faith to get me saved. That's not faith at all. Because seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Amen? Thomas said, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." But Jesus said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet still believe." Amen? Hallelujah. I never saw him walk by the Sea of Galilee. Amen. I never saw him open blinded eyes. I never saw him heal the leper, raise the dead. I didn't see him really hang on the cross. But I believe it deep down in my heart without a shadow of a doubt. I believe everything that he did. Amen. So what is faith? We say that faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Now that's not really a definition of faith. But rather, it is a description of what faith does. Everything that you need is already deposited into your spirit. Amen? Everything that you need, God has already deposited into your spirit. Amen? But it takes faith to activate that gift. It takes faith to activate that promise and that vision that you have. Amen. I don't know what your vision is, and I don't know what God has planted in your spirit. But it's there and it's available. But faith has to activate that thing. Amen. Some of you, amen, you have been. It's been in your spirit, amen, that you're going to have a good marriage. It's been deposited into your spirit that your business is going to be successful. It's been deposited into your spirit that your career is going to be what God has chosen you to be. Amen? But it's going to take faith to activate that. You believe what you want to believe, but I think the day that the doctor pulled me out of my mother, I spanked my rear end, and I began to cry that God had planted in my spirit at that time, "You're going to be a preacher." Amen? But you know what? As the years went along, if you knew me any at all, you'd say, "Oh, God made a mistake right there." Amen? But God had already planted in my spirit. But you know what, Brother Bobby? It took me having faith in God when He spoke to me and called me to preach. Amen? That I said, "I'm going to do it. I can't do it within myself. And God, you know I'm dumb and unlearned. But by faith in you, I'm going to believe that you're going to plant your thought into my mind. I put your words into my mouth, and I'm going to minister, and it's going to affect people's life." Amen? Hallelujah. Faith is confidence in God. It knows what God says is true, and that what He promised will come to pass. That's faith. That's really what faith is. It's confidence in God, knowing that what He has told you is going to come to pass. Amen? Faith must have some revelation from God. Some promise from God as a foundation. Amen? And we find it all in God's Word. Now you can't have faith in faith. You can't have faith in just faith. Faith, somebody help me. God help me. You can't have faith in faith alone. We say, if I could just muster up enough faith, I could see it happen. If I can just pray enough, if I can just fast enough, if I can just read my Word enough, I'll have the faith to believe and I'll see it happen. That's not faith. But faith is confidence in what God has promised you is going to come to pass. Amen? Am I making any sense at all? Now, there's difficulties and problems in the life of faith. Oh, my gosh. We got any people of faith in the house this morning? Got one, got two, three, four. Got four people of faith in the house. Amen? But how many of you know that the life of faith has its difficulties and has its problems? Amen? God will test our faith to see if it's genuine. Amen? I'm going to tell this, and I'm going to condense it because you've heard it 1,000 times, and I don't have to tell the whole story, but I'm going to tell a little bit of it. When I first got saved, I had saving faith. I believed God with all my heart. And on a Tuesday morning, God saved me, and I believed Him. But just not too many weeks after I had saving faith, God began to exercise faith in me. He had planted something in my spirit. He had planted faith in my spirit. Amen? And I began to have these headaches. And we went to the doctor, making a long story short. And the doctor told me, he said, you have this brain tumor and we're going to have to do surgery. And there's about a 50% chance that you're going to make it. Amen? Oh, my gosh. I'm a man of faith. All of a sudden, I've got problems and I've got difficulty. Amen? But faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Do you know what we done, Pastor? We got every scripture we could find on healing. And we begin to read it and we begin to claim it. And on the way to the doctor's office, my wife would sit over there with her Bible open and she'd read me every scripture she could find on faith. And we went for a second opinion and the doctor come out with a big old smile on his face and he said, you're going to live a long, long time. Amen. That's faith. That's healing faith. Amen. So the life of faith has its problems and has its difficulties. God will test our faith to see if it's genuine. Difficulties are food for faith to feed on. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Sometimes we think when we pray, Pastor preached on it, I don't know, last Sunday. Sometimes we pray and we don't get our prayers answered the way that we want them answered. We think that we don't have no faith. We think that God don't like us and God don't love us. And if God really loved me, He'd give me what I wanted. And I give Him my advice on how He needs to take care of it. And He didn't listen to me. But when we pray, God answers according to His will. It's not always our faith. It's His will. Oh, my gosh. Don't you fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. I'll come back there and lay hands on you. Boy, that'll keep you awake. I promise you. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we think that a man or a woman of great faith is people who never have no problems or difficulties. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Amen? Nothing could be farther from the truth. Because men and women of great faith see great things happen. But they also go through great difficulties. You got your Bible, look at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tormented, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Amen? Does that sound like people of faith? First off, we start out that faith operates through people in amazing ways. I know people of faith that I've seen them do some awesome things. Through the power of God and through their faith, I've seen them do awesome things. But I've also seen these same people go through some things that most of us would fold the tent and go to the house. Amen. But they would keep on going. They'd keep on believing God. And at the end of the day, amen, faith would come forth. Somebody pray. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Once again, the world says seeing is believing, but God says believing is seeing. Jesus came to the tomb. Lazarus was laying there. And the Bible said that he said to Martha, said to the followers there, he said, roll the stone away. And Martha said, by now he's stinking. But Jesus said to her, Martha, I told you, if you would only believe, you would see. Amen? Right now, you're probably thinking, wait a minute now. Does that mean she wasn't believing? I believe that Jesus was doing something to increase her faith. And she said, by now he's stinking. He said, if you would only believe, you're going to see of the power of God. I think he was causing her to roll over in her mind. If I'll exercise my faith, I can see the impossible. I can see the unbelievable. I asked somebody this question the other night, and I've asked it in church before. Have you ever seen anybody raised from the dead? Can you, Bobby, lay hands on the sick and see them rise? Can you go to a dead corpse and lay your hands on it and pray and they get up? And of course, y'all all looking at me saying, oh, how many's ever tried? Oh my goodness. How many has ever tried? I don't know, Pastor, that I can do anything if I've never tried it. Oh, now, wait a minute, Pastor. You're getting a little way out there. You're getting a little bit off the charts. Amen? Is that what the Bible said? He said that women received their dead raised again because of faith. I'm trying to hurry. Several years ago, God was really, really dealing with me about the faith of laying hands on a dead person and see them get up. I mean, it went on for weeks. And I was struggling, Pastor. I thought, man, this is crazy. But you know, there's documented facts of wives laying hands on their husbands and they're getting up. There's documented facts of men laying hands on dead people and they get up. But it went on, it went on. And one day, me and my brother were going fishing. And we started down this old dirt road. And there was a car sitting there. Smoke was coming out from under the engine. And I told my brother, I said, wow, somebody's had a wreck. When we pulled up beside the car, there was two teenage girls. I didn't know it at the time. There was two teenage girls, one 16, one 14. And they was in the car. And the impact of the wreck had shoved them plumb up under the dash. One of them had one little old bitty scar on her chin. Not a scratch nowhere else. But she was dead. Amen. And I'll go to my grave believing that that was my opportunity to exercise my faith. Pastor, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. You believe what you want to believe? I believe that faith takes you to that place. I don't believe that 1 minute that God caused that wreck. I don't believe for 1 minute that God took a life just to exercise my faith. But you know God knows yesterday, He knows today, and He knows tomorrow. He knows everything that's taking place. Amen? Did you know that God spoke this? I can't get ahead of myself. Amen? In spiritual matters, faith precedes understanding. Amen? In spiritual matters, faith precedes understanding. I don't understand. I don't understand how God can take my black sin, wash it in red blood, and make me white as snow. I don't understand that at all, but I believe it. Yeah, I don't understand how God can take a black cow, eat green grass, and give white milk. But I got a gallon of it at home in my refrigerator to prove it. I believe that's what really happened. Amen? So, faith, in spiritual matters, faith precedes understanding. If we could understand it, it wouldn't be faith. Amen? The middle of verse 3 says, and the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God spoke, and matter came into being. This agrees with man's discovery that matter is essentially energy. Amen? When God spoke, there flowed energy in the form of sound waves. They were transformed into matter, and this world sprang into being. Amen? I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe that God spoke it and bang, there it was. Amen. I believe that God stepped out on nothing and spoke it and it came into existence. Amen. The Bible says in John 1:1, He said in the beginning, how He spoke it into existence. He said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And the Bible said He divided the light from the darkness, and the beginning was the first day of creation. Amen? So when He spoke the Word, it came into existence. Now listen to this. Energy is invisible. Amen? So are atoms and molecules and gases to the naked eye. They're invisible. Yet in combination, they become visible. Amen? Now I'm not a smart person. I didn't know that. I just read it somewhere and thought it sounded good and I wrote it down. Amen? But I am smart enough to know this, that Psalms 14:1 says that God's creation speaks of His handiwork. Amen? You look out the window and you look at this sky and you can't believe there's a God in heaven. You need to have your head examined. Amen? Because on the day that God created this world, He took His hand and He flung the stars into their existence. And He calls every one of them by name. And He created the moon. And He created this big ball of fire that the earth circles around. Amen? And if it was just a few miles closer, we'd all disintegrate. If it was just a few miles further away, we'd all freeze to death. So God's creation speaks of His handiwork. Did you know? Did you know that this earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour? And my hair ain't even blowing. Both of them. Hey, man. I wasn't there when God said, let there be light. I wasn't there when God created the stars and the moon and the sun. I wasn't there. Nobody else was there except for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They were there. Amen? But I believe that God spoke it into existence. This thing that you're looking at, amen, was created by God. So things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen? Now, verse 4 says, I want you to notice something. I'm going to leave a lot of loose ends. I want you to notice something. Abel was the first mention in the roll call of faith. Adam and Eve were bypassed. When Eve decided whether God or Satan was telling the truth, she decided that she's going to believe Satan. Amen? Because God said, there's a tree there. Don't want you to eat of it. You can eat of any other tree that you want to, but don't eat of this tree, because the minute you do, you're going to die. And the devil said, nah, surely you're not going to die. And she believed the devil. Amen? That does not deny the fact that they were subsequently saved by faith, as pictured by the coats of skin. And that's another message for another time, and maybe God will let me preach it. Abel, listen to me. We're going somewhere. Abel must have had some revelation that sinful man can approach God only on the grounds of shed blood. Perhaps he learned this from his parents, who were restored to fellowship with God only after he clothed them with the skins of animals. Amen? I got a revelation for you. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be faithless. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to brag on faith. I don't want to brag on me, but I want to brag on faith. If you put your faith in me, I'm going to let you down. I promise you. If you put your faith in me, now don't get me wrong, I want you to have faith in me. I want you to believe what I'm preaching is the truth. I want you to believe that I'm a pretty good guy. I want you to have faith in me, to believe that I am a man of faith. Amen? But if you put your total faith in me, I'm going to let you down somewhere. Amen? Now I want to brag on faith. Now me and my wife, we always taught our boys to be babies of faith. Amen? I would tell them, if you believe in God, you can do anything. Amen? That's faith. If you just believe in God, you can do anything. And I'd tell them, if you just believe in God's will, you can have anything. Amen? You believe what you want to believe. If you believe God, I believe you can be anything that you want to be, because what you want to be is what God has deposited into your spirit a long, long, long time ago. Amen? And I thought about this, pastors, as I was studying for this. I thought about my oldest son, and he was a kid of faith. And I've witnessed about some of the things that I've seen him do. Amen? And he was just a little baby of faith. And he was so meek, and he was so kind. And I could just raise my voice to him, and he'd just... But he had this faith. He had this amazing faith. And it was implanted in his spirit by me and his mother. Amen? And I never will forget it. Just a little old bitty kid, maybe 5 years old. We'd go out in the yard and we'd play ball. And we lived in a little old house. And the bedroom was from here to there down the hallway. And we would get in that hallway, and he'd get this little old bitty football, and he'd take that thing and he'd kick it down the hall. And he'd look at me and he said, Dad, I'm going to start on the varsity when I get in the 8th grade. And I said, praise the Lord. Amen. And you know what happened? When he got in the 8th grade, he was the starting kicker on the varsity football team. Because faith said he could do that. I believe that God planted that in his spirit. Amen. But it takes faith to activate that gift. Amen? Oh, my goodness. When he was a little bit older, pray for me. I'm not a Tennessee fan. But I am a Jeremy Pruitt fan. When my boy was about 14, 15, maybe 16, Jeremy Pruitt would come to my house, get my son, take him to Fort Payne to show his kicker how to kick a football. Amen? saying all that to say this. I would talk to Jeremy, and he would tell me things. I don't know if you know this about Jeremy Pruitt, amen, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but his granddaddy was a Baptist preacher, amen, and when Jeremy was born into this world, it wasn't the perfect circumstances by no means, amen, but I believe that that man of God prayed over that boy. I believe that that man of God spoke faith into his spirit, and he began to believe in faith. He was still at Hoover, and we was talking one night, and he said, you know what? He said, in just a few more years, Mom and Daddy ain't going to have to worry financially about anything. Amen? Now, you don't have to like Tennessee, and you don't have to like Jeremy Pruitt, but you've got to be impressed by what he has accomplished. And I think he spoke it right out of his mouth. And he spoke some other things to me. They hadn't come to fruition yet, but I believe through faith in God, they're going to happen. Amen? Then, what time is it, Matt? He said it didn't matter. Praise the Lord. Then we get this other little son. He comes along. Totally opposite. He's stubborn. And he's hard-headed, just like his mama. How many of you know that we ain't all the same? Faith comes a little harder. Faith comes a little harder for some people. But I feel like, Pastor, that we've planted faith in this spirit. And we didn't see it coming to fruition. And I would question a lot of times, God, what are you doing? Hey, man, what are you doing? And the older he got, I didn't see faith come into fruition. But we keep speaking it to him. Faith took place in his life not too long ago. He got a job at the Sand Mountain Electric Co-op. Do you know what you've got to do to get a job at the Sand Mountain Electric Co-op? You've got to give your firstborn. You've got to cut off your arm. You got to give them everything. Amen. And he was going through it. And he was working. He was putting in applications. And he'd come home, he'd say, Dad, they're not going to hire me. I'd say, Kobe, don't say that. She'd say, that job's mine. That job's mine. And they'd hire somebody. And Kobe would come home, he'd say, Dad, I got a lot more experience than him. Why didn't they hire me? I said, just keep believing. Just keep believing. Keep trusting God. And you know what happened? He started coming in, he'd say, that job's mine. And I'd go to the parking lot up there, and I'd sit in the parking lot, and I'd pray over that job situation. Amen? And I'd see an electric co-op truck pass by, and I'd wave at it. I'd say, hey, Kobe! Amen? Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. This is true. Amen? But all of a sudden, we started seeing faith being activated. It was in his spirit. Amen? But it wouldn't be inactivated. But then all of a sudden, faith start activating that gift. There's some people here this morning, God has planted some things in your spirit. I don't know what God has planted in your spirit. But whatever it is, the substance is already there. You've got to activate that through faith. Amen? Now, we're experiencing a cultural shift or a new order that is sweeping a whole generation away from faith. Come on now. We're blessed. We're blessed at the Fort Payne Family Worship Center. We're a family of faith. But there's a generation that's losing faith. I read this just this morning. Three things I want to share with you. 70% of teenagers have or are leaving the church. There is very little second, and there's very little sense of absolute truth. Everything is to be experienced as relative to the person or the place. Number three, people do not look at a situation of it is right or it is wrong. But how does it make me feel? Amen. Now, I don't want to get into debate about whether faith is transferable. I know what I believe. And some of you know what I believe. But I want to show you something. In Hebrews 11 and 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. Amen? Concerning the things to come. If you're not praying over your children and you're not speaking faith into their life, I suggest you start now. We're facing some stormy water, folks. We're facing some situations. We're facing some problems. Amen? And people's faith is slipping away. If this generation passes, and this generation that we've got coming up is going to be a generation that has no faith, where are we going to be? Amen? Sister, if you'll come to the piano, I'd like this praise team, if you would, to come back up. God planted this in my spirit just a few minutes ago. There's some people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. Sister, I want you to sing, "Give Up." There's some people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, and God's planted some stuff in your spirit, and you're sitting there thinking, "Oh, if I just knew for sure that this was God, I'd do it. If I knew that was God's plan for my life, I'd do it." I always thought that Kyle would go on to college and play college football. I used to aggravate people and I'd say, "Don't be messing with my meal ticket." But that wasn't God's plan. When he was a senior, tore his knee up, God had a different plan. Probably got one of the best jobs in North Alabama right now. Amen. You know, I could have given up on God. I could have said, "God, why did you do this to my boy? God, why did you tear his knee up?" Boy, there goes my hopes and my dreams. I could have given up on Kobe. I could have told her, I said, "That's all right, son. Just keep on traveling all over the country. You'll get by." But that's not faith. Faith says, if you'll just give up and let God take over your situation, and you'll just say, "All right, God, here I am. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to get there. But God, I believe with all my heart that you have a plan and you have a purpose for me that exceeds anything that I could possibly believe." That's faith. So if you would stand to your feet all over the house this morning, and as I sing this song, and I know this may sound a little ordinary for an altar service, but this is just exactly what God spoke into my spirit. So if you're here this morning, and you're holding on to, "God, just show me something. God, if that's really you, let two stars shoot in different directions. God, if that's really you, let six dogs run down this aisle this morning." That's not faith. Faith is total trust in God. So as they sing, if you're here this morning,